Good morning. It's good to be in the house of God, amen, and to be able to be among the living. Thank God for the rain and the sunshine, amen. I'm really glad to be alive because last night I got choked on a piece of meat. No, seriously, in a restaurant, very embarrassing, but it was scary as well. But Alan Gulick did a Heimlich maneuver on me, and you know. It's kind of like a flash of life. Got my attention. Kind of been disturbed ever since. It was embarrassing, but it was scary too. So I know what, I'm just glad to be alive. To know I'm loved.
Amen.
God loves us. Amen. God loves us, and that's what matters in life, is that God loves you. Amen?
Amen.
If you're visiting with us today and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're an honored guest of the audience, and we're thankful to have you in the audience on this morning. We're studying from the book of John, chapter 15. If you turn there, we'll go there, and we'll be studying there. This book of John has been a great study, hasn't it? It's a really good study. And then in verse number 9 is where we're going to pick up at in John 15, 9. The Bible says, "As Father, as
loved,
the Father had loved me,
so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love.
Jesus loves his Father, and his Father loves him. And so he says to us as Christians, and he was telling his apostles to continue in that love. How does this compare to him? How does this compare to us? His Father and him had a relationship built on love. And because it was built on love, he asked us to love as well. And that we continue in the type of love that he had for his Father and his Father had for me. Here's how we do it. In verse number 10, he said, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Jesus' love has been demonstrated by to the world by the keeping of the command that he would go that he would be sent into this world and that he would give his life for his friends. God's will was that his son would die on a cross. And the Bible, the Hebrew writer said, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." We continue his love because he loved God. And the way he showed his love was by being obedient to his Father's will. And as Christians, we too are to keep that type of love, that love motivates us to do the will of God. And Jesus said, "I'll know you love me if you keep my commandments." So it's how it's known. It's conditional. The love that we have for God is based on our obedience is what shows our love for God. Verse number 11, he said,
These things have I spoken to you
that
my joy might remain in you.
That your joy might be full. This joy is an inward joy. It's a joy that can remain within you no matter what you're going through. No matter how difficult the circumstances are, when you have a relationship with God and a relationship with the Lord, then there's a joy that can remain with you. This joy is not about laughter. This joy is about a peaceful relationship with God. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his death because this will be a sad occasion when they crucify Jesus the Christ on the cross. However, even upon their witnessing of his death, of his cruel treatment, of the way they were spit on him, the way they were slapping upon him, witnessing all of this, they could still have an inner joy that came from them knowing him and knowing him for themselves. He said, "I came that your joy might be full." This is my commandment, he says.
That you love one another.
So this is a direct command. He said, "Now this is the commandment I'm personally giving." A new commandment he gave. He said, "This is my commandment, the one I'm personally giving it that. He says this, that you love one another. He's giving this personal command to the 12, the 11 now. He said, now, you love each other. And then he said, then he follows that and says, greater love had no man than this.
That a man would lay down his life for his friends.
Greater love is the title. Had no man than this that a man would lay down his life. There's no man that ever walked the earth that has ever exemplified this type of love. It's the highest human exhibition of love for another man. Not just another man, but the world's people of enemies that would kill him without a cause. He was yet able to call them his friends. Unlike us, when someone wronged us, they're no longer a friend. They're enemies. They're enemies. And that's what they were. These people were enemies. But the love Jesus had, he said, there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. This will remain in the mind of these 11 apostles and must remain in our minds, that as we fight the spiritual battles against sin, hatred, and the world's problems, we have to find love within us. Jesus loves us. He loved us to this degree. And what he's trying to get his disciples to do is to reciprocate that love for each other. Then he says, if you're my friends. You're my friends.
If you do.
If. There's another condition. You're my friends if you do whatsoever.
I command you.
I command you. Friendship reciprocated. We remain his friends by loving him enough to keep his commands. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Henceforth, I call you not servants, he says.
For the servant knoweth not.
He said, I don't call you servants, for servant knoweth not
what his Lord doeth.
What his Lord doeth.
But I have called you friends.
For all things that I have heard of my Father,
I have made known unto you.
A servant or a slave responds only to commands. But Jesus is asking more than just the servant-slave relationship. From his disciples, he wanted his disciples to respond to him as a friend who keep his command because they knew he loved them. You know what? If a master tell a slave what to do, he's going to do it. He won't do it because he loved him. He do it because he feared the consequence of not doing it. What God wants from us and what the Lord wants for us is to have a servant relationship with him. Because of the love he demonstrated for us and not the command he gave us to keep his word. Love motivates him. And love motivated him to come to this world. Love motivated him to go to the cross and perform an exhibit of human love that no man has ever seen on this earth. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you
and ordained you.
That you should go and bring forth fruit,
and that
your fruit should remain.
That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
A student normally chooses his teacher. Typically, we choose teachers. But in this case, Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. So the teacher chose the students. Why? He had a purpose. He wanted to develop these students to carry out the will of the Father. He would start that in the Garden of Gethsemane when he would say, not my will, but your will be done. He started that obedience in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he carried it to the cross. He left them an example, and he reassures them that I got you, I chose you, and he trained them and to carry out the purpose of God's will, and that was that the gospel go throughout all the world and souls would be saved. And he assures them that they won't be alone. As long as they done his will, his Father will be with them as long as they do it in his name. This is what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 17. Paul said this, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to who? God the Father by him. That's what he's saying, that we can give thanks to God as long as we do everything by the authority of Christ or in the name of Christ. These things will be blessed by the Father. Now, in verse 17.
These things I command you. That you love one another.
This is another. I command you. These things I command you that you love. What? Who? One another. Jesus' direct command to them is for us today. Is that we love one another. Why? Love overcomes hatred. Notice what he says.
If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you.
So don't feel bad when you get hated. I was hated before they hated you. Then he said, if you were of the world,
the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you.
He either prepares them for what is to come. And that is that the world would hate him without a cause. Not only would they hate him, they would hate the disciples or the followers or those who have chosen to follow him. It should not surprise us today that people do not buy into Christianity as we would love them to do. Many people do not love the Lord. Many people do not love God for sending his only son. They are turned in hatred. And what does that mean? Hate less than God wanted them to. When you love God and obey his commands, this makes you different from the people of the world. The world cannot understand what he meant when he said, greater love had no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Those of the world respond with hatred when they are wronged. But Christians respond in love to those who hate them. Question, are you a hater in the life of someone? Are you a hater? Can you still love a person who wronged you, who even crucified you, who whipped you with a whip, spit in your face? Could you do it? Could you love them? Could you love that person? Well, God, Jesus demonstrated that I can love the worst of my enemies. I can love the hater. I can love the wrong. I can love the one who wronged me. I can love the person because I love their soul. This afternoon, we'll be talking about part four of the PTSD series, which has a lot to do with this. The victims of cold blood. When people hate you, you'll feel it, and they'll make sure you feel it. Come back this afternoon for that lesson. Amen. PTSD, victims of unforgiveness. God loved, Jesus loved, and as Christians, we are to love. Amen. The message is there's greater love at no man than this. That's what he's saying. There's no one can love greater than what I love. That I would give my life for a friend who really was your enemy. They hated him without a cause. Listen to this. He reminds his apostles, remember the word
that I said unto you? The servant is not greater than his Lord.
If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. A reminder to the people that we have to understand. He reminded them, and he should remind us as disciples of Christ. We will have persecution in this life as Christians. It's coming. There is no way around it. There's no way around it. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said in verse 10, even as it came upon him, he still pens to us, blessed
are they
which are persecuted
for righteousness'
sake. Here's the blessing. Persecuted because you done what was right. Ask, for their kingdom is of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely
for his sake.
Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so what?
Persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
People way before us, way before these disciples ever came on earth, were crucified, were persecuted because they were God's people. God's people have always been persecuted. And what Jesus is telling them, this is nothing new. And we should expect it. But in even though persecution doesn't feel good, there are blessings that come with it. Yeah. He's saying you're blessed when you're persecuted for one reason, for Christ's sake. When you're persecuted for his sake, then there's a blessing to come with it. Why? There's a reward waiting on us in the end. The reward, and so often we confuse it, the reward is not in this life. The reward we're working on is a reward after we're dead and gone. Amen. When the world rejected Jesus, they rejected the greatest love that was ever shown. Listen what the Bible says in verse 21. Jesus said,
all these things will they do unto you
for my name's sake.
Because they know not him that sent me.
If I had not come
and spoken unto them,
they had not seen. But now they have no cloak
for their sin.
No way to cover up their sin. He that hated my father also. When people reject Jesus, they reject the Father. When they reject the Father, there's no cloak. There's no cover up. Because the Bible says in Titus 2, and the verse is number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that they should live soberly, righteously, and godly
in this present world.
Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior,
Jesus Christ.
When one reject God, when they reject the Lord, there is no way, no one can get away, because the world has seen him. The world knows of him. And God said, my grace has appeared to all men. That's when it appeared, when it appeared on the cross of Calvary, when he hung between the two thieves. Amen. That was grace and truth on the cross. And the Jews seen him on the cross. The Jews won't get away with crucifying him. There's nowhere to hide, nowhere to run. But when you hated Jesus, you hated his Father also. Jesus today is being rejected by the world. The world rejects Jesus. They give more attention to Aretha Franklin than they would Jesus. She get pink Cadillacs, amen, and an 8-hour funeral, amen, amen. Queen of soul, they call her, dead and gone. Pink Cadillacs can't save her, amen. That song she sung can't save her. What that song she sung? Which one was it? I forget which one it was. Which one? Respect yourself. Is it respect? Which one says? Natural woman. Made me a natural woman. Well, she a dead woman now. Senator McCain, all the speeches gave, couldn't bring him back. It amazes me how people can just save people however they want to save them. Talk about how much they cussed and all they done, and then talk about how saved they are out of the same mouth. Like it's like Jesus didn't die. It's like he had no reason to really die. Sin ain't no big deal. He didn't die to save us. He died to give us something to talk about. Is that what it is? Or was it the greatest love ever shown? It was the greatest love ever shown. And what Jesus is saying to these disciples, that no one got a cloak. None of us, no one in the world, will have an excuse on the day of judgment. Nobody. None of us will have it, and none of them. In verse 24, he said, if I had not done among
them the works which none other man did.
He said, now, basically he's saying, look, of all the stuff I did, and these people saw me. I did things no other man could. I walked on water, fed 5,000, healed blind folk. People were touching him and was going to be healed. Took mud and spit, put it on a man's eye and he could see. Raised a man from the dead. These people witnessed all these things. Then he said they had not. If they just paid attention to what I was doing, they had not seen.
But now they have both seen and hated both me and my father.
What they saw me doing, they hated me and my father. But this cometh to pass
that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law.
They hated me
without a cause.
Boy, it's a horrible feeling. To be hated without a cause. You hate it when you're guilty. You know, I guess it's supposed to be better, feel better when you're guilty. But when folk hate you without cause, that's the worst kind of hatred. Without a cause comes from the evil hearts of people. When they hate you without a cause. These folk were evil. This man hadn't done nothing to nobody. He had done good. He had loved them. He had healed people. He had made sick people better. Raised dead people. Done good things. Said good things. Never done bad things. No guile was foul in his mouth. Can any of us say that? That we were that good? This is how this man was. He did these miracles. They should have known there was something special about him because of the things he done. And then he makes this statement. They didn't even have a cause. I know that. Pilate said it too. When the people were saying, kill him. Pilate said, why? What did he do? What did he do? He hadn't done anything. Why? I found no fault with the man. That's what he kept saying. The people couldn't find fault. They said, kill him. They have no cause to kill him. The courts couldn't find a cause. Six courts at night still couldn't come up with a reason. The only reason they wanted to kill him is because they hated him. They hated him without a cause. Amen. And we have to be careful that we don't hate people without causes. And even if they gave you a cause, you can't hate them. Amen. They hated him without a cause. Notice the outcome of hatred. The same I'll talk about tonight. It's the killing of the other person. It's killing people. That's this afternoon. I was trying to get to that already. But when the Comforter is come.
It's come. When I will send unto you from the Father. Even the Spirit of truth.
The Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Spirit.
Which proceeded from the Father.
He shall tell you of me. After Jesus' death, these same 11 men he's talking about, and another one be added to them, would be guided by the Holy Spirit, and he will testify of Jesus. What does it mean? Jesus, for 3 years of his ministry, taught these 11 apostles what they would teach that came from his mouth. How would they continue teaching him what he was teaching without guidance? Therefore, the Comforter, which is the third part of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost then will be sent to them after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The Holy Spirit would be sent to these men, and they would continue to write what we know today as the Apostles' Doctrine. It's also known as the Doctrine of Christ. It's also known as the New Testament. So these men, my brothers and sisters, is the reason we have a New Testament. We have a New Testament, which are the testimonies, or the testimonies of Christ, testified through the apostles by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided them to write what's in the New Testament. That's how we know it's without error, because the Holy Spirit guided Paul to write what he wrote, guided Peter to write what he wrote, and guided the rest of the apostles. Mission was accomplished. He had to die on the cross to show the love of his Father and the love he had for the world. The completion of that mission will be carried out by the apostles and men of God like me today, who carry the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the greatest story that could ever be told. The greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. We have the Word of God, the New Testament. That's why we preach the Church of Christ. That's why we preach communion on the every Sunday. That's why we preach give as you prosper. That's why we preach baptism for the remission of sins. That's why we preach no divisions among us. Amen. That we be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. This is why we preach that you love one another as Christ has loved you. Amen. This is why we preach. He said to them to bear witness, because
you have been with me.
You were with me
from the beginning.
From the beginning. These men saw with their physical eyes what we've never seen. They saw Jesus, and they were with him, and they walked with him, and they talked with him, and they prayed with him, and they understood. After he died on the cross, after all they witnessed, that the statement he made, they witness. As we must witness by faith, the greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Amen. Are you a friend of Jesus? As a preacher of the cross, I understand there's no greater love and the love I preach. Man cannot give you the love he gave on the cross. I'm thankful to be a preacher of the cross.
Amen.
It was at the cross, where I first saw the light. The song goes, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed them to the cross? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Tremble, tremble. I think of it as a picture of a man who knew no wrong, a man who did no wrong. I think of it, of him as he left the Garden of Gethsemane. I think of him, how he left innocent but were arrested as guilty. I think of him, how he had to feel when they led him away, knowing he had done no wrong. When they took him to the Praetorium and they took him before Pilate, I think of him. When I think of the questions he was asked, I think of him. When I think of how Pilate looked at an innocent man, I think of him. When I think of the people who said, crucify him, crucify him, I think of him. When they took his clothes off his back, I think of him. When they took the whip and the lictor would beat him, with a whip called a flagellum, I think of him. How it must have felt to be whipped, knowing you done no wrong. How it must have felt to be whipped when you was doing it for everybody else. I must have felt. For the people that whipped him, he would die to save them. I must have felt. I think of him. How he must have been bleeding when they led him away. I think of him. When I think of what it must have felt like when they pressed the crown of thorns on his head, I think of him. What it must have felt like when they spit in his face, I think of him. When I think of how he had to look at the one who would slap him, I think of him. When I think of the one who buffeted him with the fist that would hit him in the stomach and buffet him, I think of him. Then they put the cross on his back, how he had to go up the hill, but he was too beat up to make it. I think of him. When I think of Simon being there, how it must have felt. Somebody can help me. It was one. Simon they compelled to bear his cross. I think of him. When he got to the top of the hill, called Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the stone, I think of him. When the executioners would drive the nails in his hands and in his feet, I think of him. I wonder, did he look at him as they drove the right one? Did he look at him as they drove the left hand? I think of him. Did he see him? What did it feel like when they drove the nails in his feet? I think of him. When they hung him between a thief who was wrong on the right and a thief who was wrong on the left, both deserved to be on the cross. They did crimes. They did wrongs. But I think of him. The man in the middle who did no wrong. Man. I think of him. When he looked out at the people that he was dying for and still was able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not. When I think of him, I think greater love had no man than this. When I think of him, there's nobody else. People will prove it to you. Nobody can love you like Jesus did.
Amen.
The thieves had a change of heart and said to Jesus on the cross, he railed the other one. He said, man, we deserve to be here. This man had done no wrong. And Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise.
Amen.
not because he had done wrong, because Jesus had the ability to forgive him. And he wants to forgive us. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, don't know what else to tell you. If the love on the cross, if this great love will not draw you to him, ladies and gentlemen, friend, I can tell you this, that you won't be saved. Because once you reject him, you rejected his Father. How many of you need the love of God?
Amen.
How many of you are thankful that God loved you?
Amen.
The greatest love story that was ever told is the one that was told about Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. You say, well, Brother Brooks, what do I do now? You believe it with all of your heart. You believe because of this New Testament that Jesus loved you to that degree. You believe he hung there. You believe he suffered for you with all of your heart. You repent right where you are. You say, what? You know what? If he can love me like that, then I can love him back. Be willing to confess before this all your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we will carry out his command. And his command is to baptize you for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. That baptism occurs in water. Mark 16:15, Jesus gave the command. Acts 2:38, the people who actually crucified him asked Peter after being touched by the sermon like I just preached. They asked the apostles what to do now. And the apostles said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, Acts 2:38. And when you are baptized, the Lord gives you the Holy Spirit, and then he adds you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. You are baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:26. And to be baptized into Christ is to baptize into his body. Ephesians 4:4, there is but one body. Ephesians 1:22, Colossians 1:18 tell us that the body is the church. If you've never heard it before, you'll never be able to say it again.
Amen.
There's only one God in this book, one Jesus in this book, one Holy Spirit in this book, one baptism in this book that saves. And then there's one body in this book, and that body is the church. And according to the Bible, the saved are in the body.
Amen.
And the saved are in the church. And Paul wrote to the one church in the Bible, and he said this, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you.
Amen.
My friend, through the greatest love story ever told, I can only tell you that he died for his church. His bride, she's referred to as the church of Christ. And that story is a love story, because greater love had no man than this. They laid down his life for his friend. What if you knew Jesus was knocking at your door today? Would you come? Well, you knew after hearing all of this, you know you've made a mistake. You know you've went wrong in your life. You backslid. You haven't been coming to the Lord. You haven't came to the Lord. You haven't given your life to the Lord. Today is your day. Today is your day. You say, what caused you to go? The greatest love story that was ever told. That's why you come. And if you need to come today, we want those who are not Christians. We want you, when I say not Christian, I mean not a member of the Church of Christ.
Amen.
That the Christian was all, there was Christian was in but one church in the Bible.
Amen.
That was the Church of Christ. I would love to tell you the other churches had them in it, but it ain't in the Bible. Now, I just can't take no chance on that. You can. And maybe you die and you get there and ain't nothing to it. Before me preaching the cross, preach the cross, Christ and him crucified, and his body, the church.
Right.
It all goes together. You can't have one without the other.
Amen.
And if you're here, you need prayer, we want you to come. You need to get baptized. We want you to come. If you got reason to make a confession, a member of the body of Christ, you can come, because Jesus stands at your door and knocks. Together we stand and sing.